Good morning. Thank you all for joining us, members and guests. It's good to have you with us as we celebrate Worldwide Communion today, a great opportunity to celebrate our diversity and our unity as Christians. A few announcements before we get started. The chicken barbecue, don't forget about that. That's coming up this Saturday from 4 to 7. It'll be a great opportunity for fellowship and community at our church. There'll be takeouts available for those who need it, ready to watch the big game, and it's a great opportunity. We almost sold out last year, so please come on down, and let's try to sell out this year. And also, let's give thanks to all the people who volunteered for our quarter auction last night. Emily and I got to experience that last night. It was a lot of fun. My lucky number was not called at all, so I'm expecting some good luck next year. Becky, I have your number down. It was called so many times, lucky number 12, which is the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, I believe, so. Other announcements, let's give thanks to our trustees for getting the parking lot resurfaced out front. I think it looks wonderful. I think it's great to see that in action. And also, next week, for worship, do not come here. You are not welcome here. We are having countywide worship at Dover High School at 10 a.m., so all the local Moravian churches will be closed for the day. We'll be worshiping together as a county. We'll have 300 kids present from New York. It's going to be a lot of people, a lot of Moravians, and just a good time. So I really encourage you to go to that, 10 a.m. at Dover High School. I would encourage you also to get there a little early. I've been told the parking situation with the new high school and whatnot happening makes parking a little limited at the high school, but you can park at Dover First. Dover First has plenty of parking, and if you're worried about mobility issues, they will have ushers there for you to help you. So don't let that stop you from coming and enjoying this great opportunity. And don't forget, after the worship service at 2 that day, there'll be a talent show also at Dover High School featuring our Moravian youth from across, from New York to Ohio. And we may have one of our own sing there, and it'll be a great opportunity to see how much talent we have in our young people in our church, and a lot to celebrate. And the Quiz Bowl will be approximately 1 p.m. on that Saturday, October 7th at Buckeye. Come out and support it. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. No, that's okay.
We are asking if the six Ohio churches can sponsor one of the six teams. So if anyone is interested in doing that, it's $32 to sponsor one of them. And then also we're going to help with Texas Tea Cakes on Saturday. So if anyone can help with that, we need two chocolates and vanilla. You can drop them off here at the church Friday night by 5, and I can deliver them later that evening if you want to have. So please see me after church if you're interested in helping with that.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a great opportunity. Our kids have sacrificed quite a bit. They've been practicing an hour and a half every Sunday, and they've stuck with it, even though this Saturday happens to be the same day as their homecoming. So we're going to have a lot of young girls who are going to be going straight from Quiz Bowl to getting the hairspray out and getting ready to go to homecoming, and Jacob as well. It'll look very beautiful. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. This is the first time Ohio's ever had a team in the Quiz Bowl. I'm proud to be a coach of these kids, and they're going to be the best team Ohio's ever had. I will guarantee you that right now. So. And this week, confirmation class will begin this Wednesday, October 4th at 4 p.m. at church. And please be in prayer for our kids. This will be a great opportunity for our young people. We got 4 kids in our class, and I think it's going to be a fun year. And also, please keep on your hearts and minds, October 14th, Forever Families having their big bonfire out at, I believe that's Fry's, Amy, is that at Fry's Valley?
Yes.
Fry's Valley, it's a great opportunity. And then October 21st, 7 through 9, we're going to have a Halloween costume party here. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Bring a creative costume, dress to impress, and just have a lot of laughter and joy in that room. Any other announcements at this time? Yeah, Amy. Sounds good. Any other announcements at this time? Tyler, you want an announcement? Script orders. Get your script orders in if you could. Who should they go to with their script orders?
They go to the offering plate and then I'll pick them
up. Sounds good. Throw those in the offering plate. Any other announcements? All right. Let's stand and greet one. Oh, sorry, Linda. Oh, yes. An announcement that Linda gave me that I should announce. Donation sheets for Card Party are in the narthex. The Card Party is October 23rd at 6 p.m., and your young pastor will try not to forget notes that are handed to him before worship. All right, let's stand and greet one another. At this time, I invite you to get back to your seat. You may be seated as we join together in the watchword for the week. So let us join together in the watchword of the week, which will be Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Paul wrote, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." Amen. I invite you to please rise as we join together in our call to worship. To you, O Lord, we lift up our souls. Show us your ways, O Lord. Remember not our sins and rebellious ways. At this time, I invite you to join in our first hymn, number 781, In Christ There Is No East or West. Thank you. in our prayers this week, we continue to uplift our countywide worship, which will happen next week. Just prayers for renewal and fellowship. Prayers for all our participants in the Quiz Bowl. Prayers for all the kids who are coming from New York to Ohio, 300 kids. So we pray for safe travels. We also give thanks for the women's retreat that's happened this past weekend. I had a chance to talk to one or two of the ladies, and it was just, from what I understand, a weekend of refreshment and renewal. And ladies are exhausted after they traveled back, so I'll try to keep them awake during the sermon. But they really seem, anytime we can get a group of Moravians together, it's a wonderful experience. We also give thanks today because today is Worldwide Communion Sunday. That means Christians all across the world, in many different forms and in many different types, are celebrating the gift of God, the greatest gift that God gave us, His Son, Jesus Christ. And it is an opportunity to celebrate that we may be very different people from very different walks of life, but we are loved by one God who loves us all the same. And I ask that you be in prayer this week for Canadensis Moravian, which will be celebrating their final Sunday together. They're in Pennsylvania. They decided they wanted to have their final Sunday together on Worldwide Communion Sunday. Keep them in prayer. They're a little mountain church up in Pennsylvania, so please keep them on your hearts and minds. Also, those who are dealing with all the challenges in the world, people especially in Puerto Rico who are struggling to get the resources and needs that they have because they're on an island, for those in Texas, for those in Florida. Once again, I feel like I'm saying this every week, but there's so many people in need that our hands and feet always have got to be present for them because they need that. That's how we show our love. And also continue to uplift all those in our church who have undergone surgeries, who are awaiting test results, who are recovering from surgeries. The process to recovery can be long, but let them know that you are praying for them, you are thinking about them, and you are holding them in prayer. And we had a wonderful celebration of life last Sunday for Catherine Canfield. Just a real homegoing celebration. And for me, as your first-time pastor, it was amazing to see how many lives one person can touch in a small little community church. And I got to see the sanctuary full of people. And for me, that's a blessing. And that reminds me that when I think, oh, I'm just one person, what that one person can do. And I want to thank you all for reminding me the impact that we can all make. And it's one of those opportunities where the congregation preaches to the pastor. At this time, I invite you to open your hearts and minds as we invite God into this sanctuary today. God, we come before you today and just want to say thankful. Just want to say thanks, that we are thankful for all the gifts you give us, for this beautiful day, for all the friendship and new life we see around us. We just want to give you thanks. God, we pray for our Quiz Bowl weekend next week. We pray for all our participants, for all those traveling, for all those here in Ohio who are part of the planning team. That can be an exhausting effort, but help them to see that it is worthwhile because it brings a lot of good kids in our church together where they can share the love of God and see that we are a team, we are rooted in connection, that belief in God is the ultimate team game. God, we also realize there are a lot of people in this world who are suffering, who are in pain, who are hurting, who do not know where their next meal is coming from. God, be with them. Help them to see that you are an active and present God who abandoned no one. And help us to see that we can respond. We are not capable of responding to every tragedy and disaster, but in our own way we can respond to something in our local community. And we can respond to our wider community. From Worldwide Communion Sunday, we remember we are all children of God. And help us keep that unity on our hearts and minds, to lose focus on who's right and who's wrong, but that we all celebrate and love God together, whether we bow down for communion, whether we stand up, whether we hold hands, or whether we shake hands. Help us to see that the method isn't important, but the Creator that runs through all of us, that is where our eyes, hearts, and minds should be focused, to the Jesus Christ who sacrificed for us all. And we confess our sins today. We realize that we are imperfect people loved by a perfect God. And we realize that we make selfish decisions sometimes. We make wrong decisions. But no matter what we do, you, God, are there with a grace and a mercy and a love that is strong, profound, and loved by all. In your name we pray. Amen.
First scripture lesson is Philippians 2, 1 through 13, found on page 831. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father, of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to according to his good purpose. The second scripture lesson is Matthew 21, 23-32, final page 698. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority are you doing these things, they asked, and who gave you this authority? Jesus replied, I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? What was it from heaven or from men? They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say for men, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Then he said, neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir, but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw him, you did not repent and believe him.
Chloe, I invite the children to come forward as we join together in the children's lesson. Good morning. How's everybody doing? So today we're going to talk about a special holiday in the life of the church. Has anybody heard me say a word that begins with a W today? It's Worldwide Communion Sunday. So that means, come on up, Miss Aubrey and Mr. Ryland. We got the rest of the crew coming. You guys want to stand up? Shh. So we're going to talk about worldwide communion. And that means people, not just Moravians, but Christians all across the world are celebrating communion today. And one of the ways that makes Moravian communion unique is we do something twice in our worship service when we take communion that most other churches don't do. Does anybody know what it is? It's something, what's something we do twice when we take communion? We shake hands with each other. Everybody goes around. I thought I gave a big hint there, but we shake hands. And that way it lets people know that we're in community with each other. That the love that God gives us is the same as the love we give each other. And so one of the things I thought would be cool was if we said hello in all the different types of way they do it throughout the world with each other in our little group here. So I'm going to have you guys, I'm going to put you to exercise right here. We're going to work. So in Korea, everybody, you know how they say hi to each other in Korea? They bow to each other. So I want everybody in the circle to bow. Can you bow? So you got to bow to Nick, bow to Brandon, bow to Tyler, bow to Aubrey, bow to Rylan, bow, bow. Can you guys bow? There we go. I like the energy here. And in Tibet, anybody know what they do in Tibet?
Yeah.
I would be surprised, Aubrey. In Tibet, they stick out their tongues to say hello. Can you guys do that? Can you stick out your tongue at each other? I figured you guys would be pretty good at that. In the Philippines, they do something very different. They take their knuckle, and then they have their friend put their head on their knuckle. So can you do that with the person next to you? Very gently, no dancing foreheads. There you go. So that's how they say hi in the Philippines. And then in Bedouin, they do something that's very similar to an Eskimo kiss. They rub each other's noses. You don't have to touch somebody's nose, but maybe if you get close to somebody, and there you go. That's how they say hi in Bedouin. And then in Micronesia, they do something, if you grew up with 1990s wrestling, would be very familiar to me. They raise their eyebrow, like The Rock, who is from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, by the way, so it makes him Moravian. Yeah, so can you raise your eyebrow at each other? Can anybody actually raise their eyebrow? Emily can. Watch Emily. Oh, yeah? So why don't you hold up your eyebrow? Hold up your eyebrow. We'll do that. And then in the United States of America, this strange place, they have something really weird where they bump fists with each other. Can you guys do that? Can you bump fists? There you go, Brandon. Careful. There we go. Be careful. Oh, you got to be careful with your knuckles. And so what I want you guys to take away from this is it doesn't matter how any of us say hi. In Korea, they bow to each other. In Tibet, they stick out their tongue. In the Philippines, they put their head on their knuckles. But guess what? In each one of those places, there are Christians. And they love God, and God loves each of them equally. So I want you to remember that this week as you go through school, is that just because somebody does something different than you, doesn't make them any more or less than you are. Because God loves all of us. No matter where you're from, God still loves you. That's my sermon summed up in 30 seconds right there. Can we get together in a circle and pray? Everybody grab a hand. God, we give you thanks for these kids. They are wonderful and they bring bright smiles to our church. We pray for kids worldwide, that many children grow up in different places and different circumstances, but they are all loved by you, God. And we give you thanks that you are a creator who watches, loves, and watches over each one of us. In your name we pray. Amen. Good job. Grab a snack before you. Should probably disperse. Oh, my bad. theological quandary. So before we turn our hearts and mind to prayer, we're going to do things a little bit differently for this sermon. This week, as we celebrate Worldwide Communion, we celebrate our diversity as Christians, as human beings. As we honor inclusivity, I thought it would be cool to look at paintings of the Last Supper while I preach, of artists and communities throughout the world. Many different takes and many different renderings of how this happened. And as I preach, I just want you to meditate on those different communities who saw the Last Supper in many different ways, but they still saw Jesus as the focus, as the presence there. And as you commune later in this service, I encourage you to meditate on one of those images while you commune and really connect with a community that thinks differently than you and realize that Jesus belongs to no race or no group of people, but he belongs to the world. And today we celebrate that. And I want to give special thanks to my wife, Emily, who took the time to create this slideshow this week. And I think you guys will really enjoy it. And if you can't pay attention to my wonderful preaching, you'll have something to look at behind me anyway. So let's take a moment in prayer to listen to God in our hearts and open our minds. God, we come before you today celebrating the diversity of your church. We ask that we be humble listeners today, that your Spirit works through us. For we know that you are a God that speaks in all times and all places. And we have the difficult task of listening. Listening even when we think we already have the answer. Help us to see that we may not always have the answer we think we have, but you, God, will guide us exactly where we need to be. Hand in hand, heart to heart, next to our God and next to our neighbor. In your name we pray. Amen. So as I got home last Sunday afternoon after a long week at the office, I was excited to make a dent in my couch, crack open a beer, and watch my Green Bay Packers. And I thought to myself, for 3 hours, I don't have to care about the political unrest in the world. I can just sit back and relax, and this is going to be great, and I'll be so happy and not have a care in the world. And then I happened to click on my clicker, right as the national anthem came on, and half the players were standing, and half the players were kneeling, and I just went like that because I didn't know what to do. Because it was clear to me that football this week for me wasn't going to be a politics-free sanctuary, that it was going to be something everybody was going to be talking about. And for those 3 hours of rest and relaxation I was hoping for, we're going to be invaded by some of the political anger that was in our country. And immediately I looked at Emily after digesting all this, and I told her, honey, I'm going to need another beer to get through this football game. That may not have been the most holy thing to do, but you do what you got to do sometimes. Because for me, there's something pure about sports that I love. When Aaron Rodgers throws a football, or LeBron James dribbles a basketball, or when Jenny Finch throws a softball, no one cares what their race is, what their religion is, or who they voted for in the last election. All we care about in those people, those athletes that we look up to, is if they can lead their team to victory. That's what we care about. And there's something special about that. There are very few segments of life that work like that. And I think that's why so many athletes come from deep poverty, because they know that sports field is one of the few areas in life where they get an equal opportunity to succeed. And in the sports world, prejudice harms a team's chances to succeed. If a team is unwilling to draft or sign a player because they don't like his color, where he comes from, or even if that person is too tall or too short for the position they want them to play, they lose out on that player. And another team becomes a better team by signing that player, and usually ends up beating that team that passed on that player. And I'm sure most baseball teams around in 1947 would love to go back in time and use a mulligan to sign Jackie Robinson away from the Brooklyn Dodgers. See, it probably wasn't very fun for them getting beat by Robinson's team night in and night out. And I love that sense of poetic justice that occurs on the sports field. When equality isn't honored, it's the team that has prejudice that gets hurt. And I prayed hard this week about if we should discuss the topic of protesting in church. Because do we as a community of faith need to be a place sheltered from the politics of the world? But do we not also have a duty to talk about what is going on in the world around us? And I wrestled with those two tensions throughout the week. And I'm praying that I chose wisely, that a church is a place that can foster open dialogue about difficult issues, a place where we seek to learn, not to provide people with answers to questions that we think we already have. And if you're looking for a pastor to have a strong opinion on this topic that condemns one side and declares the other side the clear winner and the other the clear loser, I hate to disappoint you, but then you came to the wrong place. Because I'm not seeing the righteous on one side and the unrighteous on another side. We are surrounded by sinners on all sides of the table, on all politics, on all issues. And if you agree with people who protest during the national anthem, love them compassionately, as Christ calls us to do. If you disagree with people who protest during the national anthem, love them compassionately, as Christ calls us to do. That is the message Jesus preaches in our gospel text about the parable of the two sons. He warns about the danger of telling God you will follow to do his good deeds on earth and not follow through with those actions. You'll talk the talk, but you won't walk the walk. And Jesus tells the chief priest, I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. Ahead of you. And he is warning them about the danger of seeing yourself as righteous, as above others, and seeing those who are different than you as unrighteous. That is what Jesus was concerned about. And that is the lesson we need to take away today. None of us have all the right answers. Nobody does. So we are called to be in community with one another and search out that best path that we can find together. I had the honor of having lunch with Denny Rome this week, and he shared with me one of his favorite Dennyisms. He said, where two or three are gathered, there will be an argument. Where two or three are gathered, there will be an argument. And it's definitely something that's applicable in the church and in our society right now. And our country continues to be locked in the middle of many vicious arguments that are happening right now. And the problem that I'm seeing is no one is listening to one another. So the screaming that we hear is only getting louder and louder and more vicious. And social media on both sides has become a competition about who can throw the bigger temper tantrum on social issues. For some of the conversations I am seeing, I know you are, but what I am would be a few steps up in maturity than some of the dialogue that is happening out there. And there are days when I don't know whether to laugh or to cry at the craziness of it all. This week, I leaned more towards tears because there is so much devastation in our world today. There are hurricanes that have wreaked havoc on Texas, Florida, Puerto Rico, and many other places. A massive earthquake just struck Mexico last week. And with each act of devastation, there's an opportunity to reach out with compassion. Yet this week it feels like our country chose hatred over compassion. We decided to focus so much energy on what divides us rather than what brings us together. And that is heartbreaking to see. Because what type of an act of God would it take for us to surrender our petty arguments and start living in communion with one another? For me, I'm scared what the answer to that question would be right now. Abraham Lincoln, in his second inaugural address as he was trying to bring his country together, he said this about the Civil War, about the accountability of both the North and the South. And he said, both read the same Bible and prayed to the same God, and each his invokes his aid against the other. But the prayers of both could not be answered. And that was the tension that the country found itself in this time. that neither was righteous and the other was unrighteous, that they were both in a struggle together. And Jesus is preaching a similar message today. God cares less about which side you stand on in an argument, but God will care more about how you treat those you disagree with. That's what God is focused on. And a good test to live by is if you are treated in the afterlife exactly as you treated your enemies on earth, would you be walking into a heavenly paradise or a scary hell? Would you be walking into a heavenly paradise or a scary hell? Loving your neighbor is a difficult challenge. If it was easy, it would not be the most repeated phrase, found throughout all of Scripture. There is no phrase that is repeated more. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I hope you took some time during this message to look at these Last Supper images throughout the world, and you were able to see the presence of Christ in all these different communities. I was surprised when I gave Emily this task, how many different places had a picture where they saw Jesus right at their table. And it didn't matter how different it looked, but Jesus was there. In communities, we see the world from a vastly different view than us. They still have Jesus right there at the center. Those are communities that we could fight and quarrel with about social issues until the end of the time, until God calls our name, but Jesus is still at the heart of it all. And it is my prayer that when we accept Christ's invitation to the table today, we keep those we disagree with and feud with on our hearts and minds. Because many people want to organize the world right now as right versus left, us versus them, the righteous versus the unrighteous. But I ask all of us that we all stand humbly before God as sinners. Sinners. That's who we all are. None of us can escape that identity. For we are all imperfect people loved by a perfect God. Imperfect people loved by a perfect God. And I encourage you, as you go to the communion table today, to remember that. To humbly come before God and remember that you are a sinner who is loved by God no matter what. In His name we pray. Amen. Let us pray. God, we come before you today realizing that it is so easy in our world to have disagreements, to have arguments, because so many people come from different places in this world. But you, God, are at the center of it all. And there are people in this world we may not understand, but help us to listen. Help us to not yell, have anger be the first thing we reach for, but compassion and understanding. For you created us all differently so we could learn and grow from each other. And may we see the Spirit that resides in us, resides in those who are different than us, and even resides in our enemies. And we give you thanks to the God that loves and sustains us all. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to join in our next hymn. And please rise. For those of you that have your books of worship, I invite you to turn to page 222 as we celebrate the Holy Spirit and his divine presence in each and every one of us on page 222. It is at this time I remind you that the Moravian Church has an open communion table. That means all of you that invite God into your hearts are welcomed here. And if you have anybody who doesn't want to receive communion, if it's your child and you don't want them to receive communion, just have them remain seated and I'll have them offering a blessing. But anybody is welcome to our table, man, woman, or child. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray together a prayer of thanksgiving. God, we come before you so thankful for the gifts that you bestow upon us, for the love that we share with each other, for the community that we have been blessed with, for the world around us. We have been given so many resources and so many people that we have the opportunity to give back, and we just want to say thank you for that. God, today we keep on our hearts and minds a world that communes together. And today the world will share these words that you have taught us together in their community in their own way. And let us share them together now. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You may be seated.
Thank you.
26 to your Moravian Book of Worship. Please stand. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you." By your divine presence, by the holy sacraments, by all the merits of your life, suffering, death, and resurrection,
bless and comfort us, gracious Lord and God. Amen.
In the same way, after supper, our Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." You may be seated.
Thank you.
Please rise. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Drink from this, all of you. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me." Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Proclaim the Lord's death. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.